trading views.
Delicious ball, Rooney! And it's smashed home by Diego Costa.
The podcast that brings together the knowledge of Sky Sports and the tips from Sky Bet's trading room. Previewing the weekend's top sporting action.
He's got defenders all over the land running scared.
Hello and welcome to this week's Trading Views podcast. In the search for winning bets from the Premier League action, I'm delighted to say I'm joined on the line, firstly, by Ed Chamberlain, Super Sunday host. Ed, pumped for a big Sunday, I imagine.
Oh, big time. Really looking forward to this. Two really good games. We'll be at Stamford Bridge for what I think will be an absolute cracker.
And from the betting perspective, we've got Dale Tempest over from Skybet. How are we doing, Dale?
I'm very well, thank you. I think the last time I worked with Ed was on Skybet Live about 10 years ago. You used to be one of our commentators there, Ed, didn't you?
They were good fun days, those. I'm worried about you, Tempest, though. Apparently you've had to come up a few flights of stairs to get here today. You all right?
Yeah, exactly. I've got my breath back now. I've got a glass of water, so don't worry. HR are looking after me.
We've got him settled in. Do not worry about that, Ed.
Good. I do worry about the old boy.
Okay, well, we're going to kick things off with what we might consider the headliner for Super Sunday: Chelsea versus Arsenal, 2:05 in a triple header there. Ed and Jose Mourinho is the number over his opponent, really, heading into this one. Do you think that kind of psychological effect kind of makes it more of an unbalanced encounter over the kind of what we see on paper between these two sides?
I think it's Chelsea's power that might make it an unbalanced encounter. And you'd love to think, and I hope it will be the case, that there'll be a reaction to particularly what happened in this game last season, the 6-0, obviously, where Arsenal just got swamped from the off. And you'd like to think that Arsene Wenger will react to that and they'll be much tougher to beat. But you never know, really. And it could potentially be a sort of textbook Arsenal week, this, if you like. Brilliant in midweek against a disappointing Galatasaray side. And then up against one of the big guns, we'll see what happens. I think it'd be great to think that Arsenal might step up to the plate and put down a marker against Chelsea this weekend, but I'm not sure it's going to happen.
Yeah, Dale, Arsenal struggled in their battles with the Big Four last season. I mean, that victory in the Champions League, Danny Welbeck coming to the fore there. On the counter-attack, they've got that kind of force now, haven't they? Alexis Sanchez, of course, plenty of pace. Do you give Arsenal any chance?
Well, that's true. That's both Sanchez and Welbeck pace-wise. Adds a different dimension. And Chelsea have not been, the Chelsea of old. At least recently they have nil clean sheet against Villa, clean sheet away in Sporting Lisbon. But before that, they conceded 2 at home to Swansea. The thing with Arsenal, it's the mental side. And players read newspapers. They know that everybody says, against the top sides, Arsenal are no good. And it's that reaction that you're looking for, that you want them to start off positively. They've got 7 wins at the Bridge, more than any other team in the Premier League history. So over years, they've done okay. It's recently no wins in 14 against Chelsea, City or Man U. Mind you, they might get a win against Man U this year, the way they're turning out. That stat you can rip up and start again with. But for me, I think Mourinho's got the Premier League as his single focus this year. Be nice to do, Champions League. But the fact he played Drogba against Schalke a couple of weeks ago just sort of gives the indication Premier League is what Mourinho's about. So I can't see him not winning the game with that power-packed midfield.
Yeah, certainly wants the title back at the Bridge. Ed, 4-6 on the Blues, 18-5 on Arsenal to get the victory, 13-5 on the draw. Do you think that's priced up about right by Skybet?
Yeah, I think it probably is. I think, and I have words, and I agree with Dale there, I have words ringing in my ears from Gary Neville on Monday Night Football, where he says this Chelsea team, just like Dale said there with the focus on the Premier League, he sees them, they can fight a team if they need to, they can be resilient when they need to, which is what we saw at the Etihad in that away performance against the champions, and yet they can outpass you as well, outplay you, which they did against Aston Villa. And I think Jose will have signposted this one, another chance to put down a real psychological marker against Arsenal. I think they'll come out all guns blazing. It's that power in midfield that makes the difference, in that defensive midfield slot that's so much talked about with Arsenal, that I think's the concern going into the game. I think there'll be goals, though, because Arsenal have got that threat which you've referred to, but I think it'll be a terrific game, but it's hard to oppose Chelsea.
Yeah, over 2.5 goals. Odds on 8-11. Dale, do you think the punters are going to side with Chelsea on this one, or do you think they'll be tempted by Arsenal's decent price?
No. They'll be with Chelsea. This will be one of the bankers of the weekend, I think, on particularly the Sunday games, with Europa League games and Champions League. We suddenly get quite a blast of teams coming on the Sunday, of the top teams. So it's great that we've got a sort of major game going on. We've got Man U Everton earlier, Tottenham, Southampton, West Ham, QPR. The Ackers are going to be Man U, Chelsea, Tottenham, West Ham, all the home teams. Those will be the main ones of the day. I don't think we've got a chance of getting Chelsea beat. Although, as I say, the fact they have John Terry's not the youngest there has ever been. You know, Welbeck will be working.
But is there a centre-half playing any better than him at the moment, Dale?
Probably not. And I think that's the great thing with good defensive units. It's not about individuals. It's about Matic sat in front of him, Cahill next to him, working hard. Because they throw those fullbacks forward more than any other team. But Matic stays so close. Those three as a unit are just outstanding. Fabregas, 6 assists. He's been out. I mean, what a bargain he looks now.
Amazing, you know, isn't it? Exactly. Against Arsenal as well.
I know. I mean, it's just ridiculous that Fabregas is lining up.
The key man in there who you haven't mentioned is Ramirez as well with his legs.
Yeah, I know you mean he sort of does all the work, the water carrier, as Cantona described it all those years ago, Didier Deschamps, the man who gets around the park and, as you say, put the legwork in. What's interesting from Arsenal's point of view, which is a big plus for them as well, is that because of recent injuries, Ozil played more central. And I think that probably helps him, particularly if he's going to be trying to feed the runs of Welbeck, because it saves him doing the legwork in the wide positions. And I've never thought Ozil really is comfortable. He's not going to go past anybody out there, and he has to do those defensive duties. And I think that's a big plus for Arsenal, having him central, because obviously Ramsey's out, or he was at midweek Champions League. And so he got to sit there, and he had a much bigger influence on the game. So that's a positive for Arsenal, but there's too many good things happening at Chelsea at the moment for you not to be backing them. And I think actually 8-11 is not a bad price.
Yeah. Ed, first goal scorer market. I mean, mentioned there, Cesc Fabregas. Law of the X's, it happened with Lampard when he came up against the Blues. Do you sense it's going to happen again?
Depends where he plays, to be honest. I mean, he could play like he did it at City with Fabregas and Matic both sitting, really, with Ramirez on the right. He could play Matic alongside Ramirez in the middle, which would set Fabregas free, and then you would want to have Fabregas on side. But obviously we haven't mentioned Costa yet. All the money you'd imagine will be for Costa, so that the value certainly with Costa. The man I'm always most interested in a big game like this is Eden Hazard, who he's so good that you're crying out for him to absolutely take hold of a game like this, and he's quietly gone about his business this season. He's been outstanding at times, and I'd be looking to him on Sunday to really put his hand up for Chelsea, and I could see Hazard having a really big game.
Yeah, 6-1 on Hazard to score the first goal. Diego Costa, as you alluded to, dominates the market, 100-30, expecting him to dominate the Arsenal defence. Dale, who do you like in the first goal score? Anyone jump out at you?
It's not a market, I must admit, I play very much myself. The obvious, as Ed said, Costa, Sanchez probably more. And as I say, the fact that Welbeck suddenly got himself...
There'll be money for Welbeck, I'd imagine.
There will be. At 7-1, there's got to be, hasn't there? But it's funny, the games, Galatasaray weren't great. Gave him lots of space, gave the Arsenal midfield players great. When Welbeck against City a few weeks ago at home had that chance clean through, just clipped it against the post wide. You know, he's had chances in a few of the big games and just come up short. And that was always the sort of argument with somebody like Welbeck. Yes, he can do it against the smaller sides when you get that extra bit of time. Can he do it in the big, big games? And that's what you really want from him in going to the Bridge and running riot against Cahill and Terry. The one person that's not on our list there, but he's going to be about 16-20, Ivanovic. He just gets forward so well.
Spot on.
I mean, I'm a massive fan of him when it comes to first goal scorer markets. Basically, most firms have caught on to the fact that he's up for every free kick, and he's playing more like a wing back, getting in the box as well. Ivanovic at a price, but if you got 14s, he's getting a bit skinny. Is 16, 18, then you might be interested.
Yeah, 18-1, Dale. You'll be lapping that one up.
I certainly will. Give you a run for your money, won't he, Dale?
Oh,
he's
absolutely.
Just everywhere, Ivanovic. He plays like a man possessed at the moment. He's brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, that goal they scored on the reaction against Burnley. I mean, you were saying, Ed, about Gary Neville and talking about, you know, Chelsea can do everything. The big thing with good teams for me is as soon as they go behind, what happened? That's a real test.
Reaction.
Exactly, the reaction. Every single player in that Chelsea side at Burnley, up to gear. There was no, oh, God, we'll suddenly go long or we won't. Every single player went, hang on a minute, this ain't happening. And three goals in 20 minutes. They were devastated. They just ripped them apart. And Ivanovic got, of course, the first goal from one of the goals of the season, from that half-volley pass from Fabregas. So, yeah, Ivanovic, I'm a big fan of him in the goal-scorer market.
And that's what you talk about there. That's what Arsenal are going to have to weather early, I think, in this game. I think it'll be an absolute storm they're up against. I think Jose, you look at Chelsea in the tunnel, and they just have a look at that side. I mean, the work ethic he instills in these guys is phenomenal. But you just sense that they all know exactly what their job is. And they come out there, and particularly against Arsenal, and what happened where they were, what, two up inside 6-7 minutes last time. I think there'll be an absolute storm at the start. And Arsenal have got to weather that. And if they can weather that and bring your Ozils and Sanchez's and Welbecks into the game, they'll have a chance. But it's not going to be easy. They're going to have to be very resilient, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, blown four leads, Wenger against Mourinho as well. So that's a worrying one, even if Arsenal do get out of the traps fast.
Good game, isn't it? Really good game.
Absolute cracker.
I'm so looking forward to this one. I really am.
Okay, well, moving on. The early kickoff of the games, and we talk about games that look really whet the appetite. Goals galore, look destined. As Manchester United host Everton, United all out attack really at the moment. Everton more goals in their games than any other Premier League team this season, averaging over four a game in all competitions. But a big ask for them after Europa League, a big trip to Russia, and they head to Old Trafford, surely with some weary legs.
It's a cliche, isn't it? Europa League hangover. And I think Dale always told me it was early in the season to worry about that. But I think the trip that they've had, and the fact that I really sense Roberto Martinez is up for this Europa League this season. I really think that he wants it and wants it badly. So that was a strong team they played, and an excellent result they got, really. To come out of there with a draw is a terrific result. But you've got to think about it. Compare the weeks they've had, and you'd like to think Louis van Gaal has had the entire week on that training ground, and this is where it should give United a big advantage. You'd like to think he's been working on their defending and their defenders ahead of this one. I think it'll be a fantastic game of football, this, but I think it's a bit of a nightmare to predict this one for both of them. I'm guessing on this.
Yeah, over goals 4-7.
But I imagine everyone will go for that.
Is it time to oppose it, Dale? Do you think the market's caught on?
Exactly. Whenever it goes like this, I mean, Liverpool-Everton last week in the Merseyside derby was exactly the same. It was, you know, the lines were just ridiculous, you know, 1-2 over goals. And I would always go under. I just would, because I just think it balances out. And when there's so much at stake. The interesting thing here, you got a Man United side, 9 of the last 10 home games, 3 or more goals. So, you know, that's built into the prices. The one thing for me that was obvious from last week, the Leicester game as well, is that United are out of the blocks. You know, all their star players, they're all rested. Di Maria will be impossible to play against probably for the first half an hour. They were 2 up against West Ham. West Ham got that goal, and it was absolute panic stations. They couldn't get out their own half, and this is against West Ham. Now, the bet...
It's at home, isn't it, Dale? That home crowd, they get edgy, don't they?
Very edgy, and it's a team who go in front and have the confidence in their defenders will continue to play. A team that doesn't will suddenly start reverting into just getting behind the ball and hanging on for the win. And the bet that stands out for me, and it's the half-time, full-time bet, Man United half-time, draw full-time, 14-1. Because I do think Everton are capable, lost 1 in the last 8 away. Yes, they might struggle physically late on in the game. But sometimes it actually works in reverse. You struggle early because mentally you just can't get up with the pace. But when you're having to force the game, I just think Everton could get something out of this. But Man U will, as you talked about Chelsea, Ed, you know, they'll be absolutely up. They're fresh.
Yep.
They've had nothing else to do all week than concentrate. They'll blitz it, hopefully get a lead. But if the Leicester game and the West Ham game are a measure of how they're going to manage being in front, then they could get pegged back.
My worry with that, Dale, is, and you've touched on it from the week, and it's just Everton, the way they've been finishing their games this season, they've got a bit leggy. That Arsenal game you think about, they've just ran out of gas, and if they're ever going to run out of gas...
Yeah, Dale...
I agree with you totally. I mean, it's 7 drop points from winning positions for Everton, you know, worst in the league. And the fact Gareth Barry was playing at Krasnodar yesterday, I thought, what on earth is he doing there? You know, surely this is the best chance...
I think he wants to win it, Dale. I really think he's up for it.
I agree with you. From a betting point of view, I looked at them the other day. They're 18s for the Europa League. But my always concern is you've no idea who you're betting against because you're all Champions League. They could end up with Liverpool in it the way they're going. What a final that'd be in the Europa League final.
We can only hope. But I mean, Dale, I mean, in your professional days, that travelling alone, travelling around Hong Kong, must take a lot out of you.
It does.
In preparation as well.
But it's more...
Pre-air travel.
Yeah, exactly. Pre-air travel. We used to get on a train going up to China. Yeah. Thanks, Ed. I've still got the lace marks in my forehead. The one thing with the travel, it's more mental than anything else, you know, because physically you're not massively, you know, inconvenienced. It really is a mental tiredness. And players are the worst. If you give them an excuse, they'll use it. I'm sure Gary Neville tells you that and Cara on Monday's
end. He talked about in the Champions League games, they tried everything. Flying back that night, flying back the next morning, resting here, resting there. And that's compounded by the fact it's a Thursday night. Makes it even harder. And Gary talks about, you imagine how many times you did it with United. He talked about how it took ages to settle on the right formula. And then I don't think they ever really hit on the best way to recover. And the fact of where they've gone and when they've done it on a Thursday makes it even more complicated.
Absolutely. But I was watching Sky Sports News HQ this morning, and the first thing it said, 3 o'clock this morning, Everton got home. So they've literally, I don't think they've got change. They've just got straight on the plane. You know, they must have had a plane ready to pick them up. And literally, as soon as they've got out that stadium, they're on the plane on the way home. So that they'll have been relaxed in, you know, good conditions. So they're doing the best they can. But it's that early on in the game. I do think United will be fresh. No Rooney, though. And to be honest with you, I think that's a plus for Man United at the moment. I think he's been average beyond belief. I can't remember the last time Rooney went...
I thought he was outstanding for 45 minutes last week. I thought he was brilliant.
Well, for 45 minutes he might be, Ed, but you know that's not enough, is it? Against Leicester, I watched him specifically, and I'll tell you why, because I bought his player performance. Because Ramsey had made up 177 against Leicester, and he was quoted, I think it was mid-80s or something, and I thought, oh, that's got to be a buy. He never moved from the centre circle line. He didn't make himself available as you need to as that playmaker at the top of the diamond. And I think with Mata coming in, they actually might be a better team in the short term with him there.
Yeah, Ed, it's not bad. I mean, that's what we talk about.
I'm not sure about that, to be honest. I know where you're coming from, but I thought last week in that first half, obviously he didn't appear much for the second half for obvious reasons, but I thought that first half he was the best player on the pitch.
He probably was. I mean, he took his goal well. The one thing with him, when the team gets, you know, he's the first who will do the legwork because losing at Leicester was an embarrassment after they were in front. But I do think with so many big stars around him, he's almost lost a little bit there. He doesn't try things. I can't remember, honestly, Ed, the last time I saw him dribble past somebody or do something. His technical play is safe. If I was a sort of manager looking at him, I was looking at his ProZone stats. Everything he does at the moment looks very safe.
We did an interview with him on Super Sunday where he talked about how his game had changed and how that he isn't so much of a player. You remember him bursting past players
absolutely,
at Everton when he first was at United. And he did talk about how his game is very different now. And I actually talked off the back of that about whether he needed to play with a bit more edge because he hadn't been booked in ages, I think, of something like 18 games.
So it's your fault he got sent off last week, then.
What happens the next week?
Appreciating your advice, I'm sure.
The edge is back.
He'd forgotten how to kick somebody, though, because he only had to clip his ankles and he'd get
or
a
give
yellow.
Him a tug. Yeah,
exactly.
Give him a tug.
Anything. Yeah. I know, it was madness, wasn't it? And the hilarious thing for me was his management team have obviously been working. I mean, you've got a huge management team. You've got people, Ed, haven't you, who manage all these things for you. There's a huge Sunday Times pullout, double page, on Wayne Rooney, the mature Wayne Rooney, which was
ironic,
sat there looking at you on Sunday after he's kicked somebody around their legs.
Football hilarious. Makes fools of you, doesn't it?
It does, absolutely. His management team must have been scratching the red after that one.
Okay, well, we'll move on to Super Sunday's final game. Ed, getting a bit frayed by this stage, I imagine, as presenting the show. Triple headers can't be...
Presenting the Premier League, you don't get frayed. Absolutely not.
Okay.
Had a monitor, don't forget. I'll be watching all sorts of games on Sunday. It's going to be a fantastic day.
Indeed. We've got your Saints playing as well, haven't you? Which we'll touch on. But West Ham, I mean, they're odds on. A rare time in the season, you'll see West Ham odds on. 17-20 up against QPR. Wretched on the road so far. 10 goals conceded. QPR 3-1. Do you fear for them, Ed?
Well, no, because I was at the game last weekend at Southampton. I thought QPR were excellent, actually. Much better. Obviously, the White Hart Lane performance and the performance we showed on Super Sunday as well was disappointing at Old Trafford. But at St Mary's, I thought they were a bit unlucky not to go away with something. They were much better. The work ethic was much better. I thought QPR were very good, and they were very unlucky late on with Cranshaw rattling the crossbar and the follow-up going over the bar. So they actually deserved, I thought, I came away thinking Southampton were a little bit lucky and they deserve something. If they go and do that again at Upton Park, they'll do all right. They will do all right. But when you look at the form book, which, as you say, three defeats, shipped 10 goals, and West Ham with what they did to Liverpool, then West Ham look bankers. But if West Ham play like they did against Southampton at home, then QPR have got a great chance. So it's a difficult one because these two sides are hard to predict. But the fact is that West Ham going forward, they look excellent.
Yeah, Dale.
Home, on a Sunday afternoon, it'll be lively.
Yeah, Dale, what have you made of this West Ham team? Obviously, Diafra Sakho impressing, earned a place in the starting lineup. Four straight successive goals in all competitions for him. They've got attacking options, haven't they, West Ham now?
Yeah, they do. More than the attacking options, I mean, obviously, Carroll will be on his way back eventually.
Valencia's the one.
Exactly. I love the way he basically battered the Liverpool centre-halves. Lovren and Skrtel, I mean, he was throwing himself at them, balls in the air. I mean, he ended up with a headband, didn't he, Lovren? And it's that raw physical presence. Don't care about reputations, names. I just want to make a name for myself in this league. And I like what Valencia's added to the West Ham side. The big plus, though, the lad Coyote, who's come in from Anderlecht, and Song, of course, are now settling in. You've got a really solid base. I mean, Sam always concentrates defensively before anything else. But it looks like he's got a side that's going places. The problem is, with games like this, and QPR will be much better now, few weeks. Leroy Fer, a player I thought was, you know, very underrated probably at Norwich. He was probably their most influential player. Once Hoddle and that's got them in, he's a good coach at QPR. He'll have them all working and they will improve gradually through the year. 70 is the price. And you come back to price. Ed hates the word value, by the way. So the
I've
value.
I've used that word already and I regretted using it. What have I done?
You used to hate that. Every time I'd say it on Scarlet Live, you used
to
cringe.
To wind me up.
Give me a punch. but any team in the mid range, obviously you've got the top sides. You take that top five or six away, any team that's sort of getting into 17 to 20, West Ham, 11 to 10, Tottenham, 4 to 5, Swansea, 4 to 5, Leicester, Evans, Hull, you've got to be against them just because there is so little between so many sides. And as I say, last week...
I agree with partly what you're saying. I think some sides are much more reliable than others, though, Dale. For example, Swansea at home, I'd trust them even at odds on, I must say.
Yeah, possibly. They were poor against Southampton. Very poor. Mind you, Boney got a red card early.
They weren't, though. They genuinely weren't. I thought Swansea were actually excellent. I think it was the sending off of Boney that was so important of that. And Southampton, my goodness, they had to ride their luck and then pick them off with 10 men. Swansea at home, for me, against sides in the bottom half are bankers. And they don't just beat these sides.
Well, the end of last season, that's when they really struggled in these sort of games. I remember dropping points against West Brom and Palace. But you're right. I suppose the one thing with Swansea, more than anything, whenever I watch them, they fall between the line of keeping the ball and keeping it brilliantly and forgetting, actually, we need to actually score here. And last year, I thought they got into real sort of mess mentally. There's been a clear out there. Gary Monk's doing a fine job. I love the way they went to Chelsea and just really sort of threw the game at them and were very unlucky where they conceded on half time, the worst possible time, and went in 1-1 instead of actually leading at the bridge. So, yeah, Swansea might be take out that equation, but if you take the majority of the point
saying,
I'm
yeah.
making, Hull, even money at home at Palace, oh, God, no. Mind you, David Ord's got a question for you, Ed.
Go on then, Dale.
The Sporting Life editor, for anybody who doesn't know.
I've never heard of him. Who's this fella? What's
he was just a fan writing in it.
Exactly. Mr. Ord. He's the top editor
Dave
in
Ord.
The country.
David Ord. David Ord. Hello,
Hull.
David.
He wants to know, he's looked at your Super 6 selections and you put 0-0 Hull and Palace will be tough to break down. He was asking, you are aware that Hull have conceded 11 in the last... Is it six games? That's it. And there's been 11 goals in Palace's last two away games. How did you come up with 0-0? That was his question.
Who is this fella?
He's the editor. You write for him. You might not have ever met him, but you write for him.
Does he use his eyes? I mean, his stats can only help you so much. You've got to look at the game and you've got to look at Steve Bruce. after what's happened with the run Hull are on. I think they're without a win in five, Dale, 3 points from 15, one win in 11 Premier League games since the FA Cup semi-final in April, conceded at least two in each of the last five games in all competitions.
That so stat pack my, Mark Gass provides that, is fantastic, isn't it?
Off the top of my head, I've done my research. So my thinking on this one, Mr. Ord, is that Steve Bruce will have had enough of that. He will look to shut up shop. And I spoke to Kevin Phillips in advance of this as I prepared for my weekly award-winning column on the Sporting Life website. And he told me all about Palace and how organised they are, how difficult they are to break down. And it took two set pieces to do it against Leicester. And how under Warnock now, he will go to places like this and keep it very, very tight. So you can put a line through those dreadful statistics and go nil-nil.
So we'll ignore the 3-2 win at Everton and the 3-3 draw at Newcastle. Okay, let's ignore those. Listeners, just ignore those two didn't happen.
Stats are only so useful. You always get a statistical bombardment from Tempest. They're useful to a certain extent. But I'd rather look at the 1-0 wins for Palace, home and away last season, where it was very tight. Sendings off in the game, I think it'll be very, very tight between these two once again. I'm going low on goals, Hull against Palace. And as I said in my Skybet video earlier on this morning, if that goes wrong, I will be in trouble with Mr. Ord and Mr. Tempest, and I will be hiding for a week.
Funnily enough, the betting actually says that you're probably right, Ed.
I would love it, Tempest, if this was nil-nil. Love it.
11 to 10. Is over 2.5 goals.
So one of the odds compiler's been listening to Mr. Ord, whoever this fella is.
No. They don't listen to Ordy. No. Only if Tregoning's got one.
I will see this fella. I hope he'll be at that horse race writer's lunch and I'll have a word.
Yeah, that's it. Well, I'll sit you next to him if
no,
I
don't do that. He'll try and nick my lunch knowing what he's like.
Well, that's true. You'd have to be on a different... You couldn't be on the Sky table. You'd have to be on the Sporting Life table then.
I love Ordy. Oh, dear.
Ed, how about Southampton?
Sorry, Tim, we went off on a bit of a tangent there.
That's absolutely fine.
I'm sure Mr. Ord won't be listening. He's probably on the gravy train to Longchamp as we speak. He won't be listening.
He is, yeah, exactly.
He's a big fan of the show, Ed. Saints, 9-4, final game of Sunday's lineup at Tottenham. Dale, I reckon you're opposing Spurs in the Europa League on Thursday night. That came off. You'd be opposing Spurs against Saints, or I don't think you can do Ed the favour of tipping up his boys, can you?
It's a difficult one. Southampton
had
a good start.
Good start?
All right, 13 points
best
in 6.
Best start for 31 years.
It's a good start. They had a good finish.
After all your text messages
year.
In the summer.
Oh, don't you. You were as negative
off,
as me. You, don't
oh,
you start.
Dear me, the stick I took. I stayed quiet. Yeah, I stayed quiet. Second in the Barclays Premier League.
Yeah, you did very well to stay quiet. Mr. Letizier didn't.
Good start. I can't believe it. Good start.
Well, what do you want me to say? A fantastic start.
Sensational,
I think.
I have to say,
what a finish from 6'10" Pele last week.
Which was better, Dale? And you're, as a former international striker, top-class striker yourself, Charlie Austin or Graziano Pele's finish last week?
I'd say Pele's. Because the difference with I think Austin's was just total instinct, touch, move, hit. You know, the ball just fell into him, and it was perfect finish. I thought Pella's athletically was brilliant for a guy so tall and big. I would be with Pella's definitely.
Yeah, 11-2, Ed. Confident going into this one? Certainly not going to be scared of Spurs' strike force right now.
Never confident, to be honest. It's a fascinating football match.
3-2 both times last season.
Yes, but you look at particularly the game at White Hart Lane, you look at Southampton's back four in that game, and I think it's fair to say they had injury problems. They were good games of football. And it's just a really interesting matchup, this. Pochettino against Koeman. Can Southampton Pochettino? Because the decisive area in this game, I don't know what Dale thinks, I think will be that central midfield. And Spurs, I think, have got a problem there. Young Mason's come in, Kapu, these guys, because Southampton are just full of energy. Whoever they play, whether it's Schneidlin, Wanyama, Davis, Ward-Prowse is obviously injured at the moment. He's got options in that central midfield, and they're just all energy. And Spurs will have to be at it. Spurs do have quality, but Southampton have got the one and only Dusan Tadic. We were unlucky last week, by the way, Tempest, with his...
I know. I was going to be mentioning
agony.
That at some point.
It was agony.
Yeah,
agony.
Cost me fortunes, that did.
I do apologise. Yeah, I went big on that and everywhere. Blog, videos, the lot. I apologise. Oh, dear.
Never mind. There's always, the Wanyama-Schneiderlin combination is the one last year that I was so impressed with. When people forget Wanyama, when he was the cornerstone of the Celtic side who beat Barcelona. You know, it was down his physical presence in front of that Celtic back four was why Southampton signed him. And I think he's been an outstanding signing. And of course, Schneiderlin is a top class player. You look at all his stats and he's up there with the best on tackles, interceptions, all that. And he can play a bit. He gets a few goals as he showed at West Ham. So I do think that's one area where they could...
Stephen Davis as well. He's the unsung hero in there as well. All energy, fantastic, keeps it simple and just complements those two perfectly.
I think the one thing here is the price. 11 to 10 Tottenham, on you're looking at a side.
Value? Is it value for you,
Ed? It's poor value. That's what it is, Ed. Are you allowed, can I use the word poor value?
Yeah, that's better.
Oh, you prefer that. Okay, well, it's poor value, 11 to 10. Because you're looking at a side, as I say, couldn't beat West Brom at home. Played okay at Arsenal.
The difference with them, the funny thing, that particularly that West Brom game, Pochettino side, they seem to be almost wanting to play on the counter-attack. They want sides to come at them, which West Brom are never going to do at White Hart Lane. I don't think Southampton will necessarily do that either. And you could have a bit of a stalemate situation again here, I think.
Yeah, Dale, it'd be interesting to gauge your thoughts. Spurs, I mean, they're odds against here, albeit just slightly 11 to 10. If we'd started the season with this game, would Spurs be... I mean, obviously, expectations Southampton were a lot lower than they've...
They've been odds on, I think you're right.
Yeah, they'd be probably 1 to 2. Yeah,
so you're getting value there, Ed?
No, because a lot has happened since then. There's a reason for that.
We can't ignore those six games.
can't ignore that. Emmanuel Adebayo scoring just
that
once.
That was a very good question, though. That was a proper question, that.
Well, we'll try and keep it lighthearted from now on. I apologise.
Very good. Impressed with that.
In terms of the Saturday games, Ed, is there any that catch your eye? I know there's a couple that you've already mentioned. Swansea.
0-0 Hull Palace.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Oh, yeah. Not going to happen.
No, I'm joking.
You got any stats to back the one up? Or?
Stats can only take you so far. I am going... do you want me to give you what I fancy on Saturday?
Yes, go for it.
To be shot down by the old boy in the corner there. I'm going Leicester to beat Burnley to nil.
Oh, I've got that.
I fancy Leicester. It's all about the first goal in this one. Burnley are going to be resilient. They're so well organised. And you watched them last week, Kenny. The way he sets them up is fascinating defensively. So Leicester will have a problem breaking them down, but I think they will eventually and then go on to win it easily. Because Leicester aside, I like to support at home. They are just full of energy. Ojoa's terrific. Vardy just never stops. He is a nightmare to play against, Vardy. Relentless he is. And I fancy Swansea, as I always do, sorry to sound boring, but at home against a side like this in the bottom half, Newcastle, devoid of confidence at the moment, I'd fancy Swansea to win that one as well to nil. So I go those two in a double to win to nil, which I'm not sure what price that would be, but it should be quite attractive.
Off the top of my head, 8.3 to 1, I believe.
Very good. You've done your prep, which is excellent. And the other thing I fancy is West Brom at Anfield. Probably a draw, but I think West Brom will cause them real problems. I was impressed with West Brom with Lescott in the side and Liverpool suspect against set pieces. So I'd back Dawson, who's got a leap in him, as we saw last weekend on Super Sunday, at a big price to score in the game. Set piece, probably 1-1. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, Dale sharpening his knives.
No, I'm
in agreement.
Lescott, 33. West Brom scored 3 goals from corners this season.
They've scored more than anyone else from corners, haven't they?
That's
that stat on the. If you're watching Super Sunday last week, you'd know that.
Yeah. Funnily enough, I was watching the Ryder Cup rather than watching you and the Burnley game. I don't know why.
Yeah, well, what about the two centre halves then? Both big prices. That Dawson, well, you saw at the back post there. They're dangerous at corners, West Brom. And we know what Liverpool's defending's like against them.
I think
they're onto something there.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose the one thing with Liverpool's defending, it's often the second ball as well. I mean, Agbonlahor's goal was a bit of a scrap after they didn't win the first ball.
Yeah,
so
Basel,
you need a bit of luck with these things. But West Brom only lost one in the last 5 against Liverpool. And Liverpool have totally lost their mojo. Anybody who watched them at Bale in midweek, they've forgotten to go back. That might sound stupid, but they've forgotten to be patient. They're trying to go forward at every single opportunity. And the Balotelli introduction has created a situation where no Liverpool midfielders know if they're going to get it back, whether he's going to disappear up his own rear end, whether he's going to hit it over the stand, or whether he's going to score an unbelievable goal. But at the moment, he's proving... I think they'd be better with Ricky Lambert in at the moment. I think that would settle them down. So, yeah, tough times for Liverpool. One clean sheet in 12 and not playing well at all.
And I've got an email from a D. Ord who says West Brom have won two of their last three Premier League visits to Anfield as well.
Oh, well, that might be exactly it. What does he say on the whole game? Over goals?
He's gone big on goals.
The other ones I like. The Swansea game is fascinating because Newcastle obviously struggling like mad. I've fancied Newcastle to be going down for the. I've backed them at 14s, as you know, Ed. I got some value on that one.
Yeah, you have. That's value.
I'm just hoping.
It's looking like value now.
I'm hoping that Newcastle actually get a few results because I do think in the end of the season they'll still be down there because I don't know where they're going to get the goals from. They just say they don't have enough players who have Premier League experience. Cisse's their top scorer coming off the bench with two against Hull the other week. So I do think they're having a tough time. So Swansea, Liverpool. Liverpool, I'm leaving definitely. Sunderland, Stoke. Don't even look at that game. Just tick the draw box.
Draw, yeah.
Yeah, just don't even look at it.
Can it keep happening with Sunderland? It probably can in this
one,
can it?
Well, it can, because they keep missing chances. And they don't look like scoring, so they're a poor 6-4 shot. And Stoke unbeaten in five away. Crouchy scored two in the last two, so he's in a bit of form.
He was excellent on Monday, really good.
Yeah, I've always liked him. It's funny, early on in the season when Stoke had a few poorer results, they weren't playing with Crouch. They were playing with Diarmi.
Yeah.
I say more mobile, but just didn't have that.
He's better playing off Crouch.
Exactly, if they're going to play a four,
which
I'm not sure away from home they'll be doing that often. But Stoke actually doing okay. You know, the QPR unlucky to drop the points there when they were in front. And of course, the win at Man City is something nobody saw coming. So if I had to be forced into either or, it'd probably be Stoke at the moment. But good set of fixtures on Saturday. But there's also lots of Sky Bet Championship games that we'll be looking at. You know, Leeds is the early game against Sheffield Wednesday. Sheffield Wednesday, probably one of the bets of the weekend, I think, in that.
Can I ask you a question as well, Dale?
Go on.
That I will go and have a look on your award-winning app, I believe. If you've got any specials for us, I like your special on the Ryder Cup, money back and all that kind of thing. I bet you must have a special on Super Sunday, surely.
On Super Sunday? No, we haven't got the Super Sunday. We've got Saturday stuff and so many homes and this, that and the other. But I shall get you a Super Sunday stat so you can use it on air and just blitz everybody.
Money back offer on Sunday.
Exactly.
Like Shindog with his six places. I like that.
Oh, no. Yeah, he'll be back with his six places. Actually, he might not, because I think we did a Conkers on that
one. Oh, no.
We've done a Conkers on that race the last 3 years doing six
Mike
places.
Mike will take
on
that very badly, I imagine.
He will. Can you believe in the D. Ord Shinners combination of getting the exacta in the Cambridgeshire, Tregoning's Bronze Angels was left out of calculations.
You are joking.
Yeah, I'm not.
The mist must have descended on Sky Bet Towers. That's wonderful news.
He hasn't recovered from it, I can assure you.
Okay, well, chaps, rein you back in. that's okay, you digress, sir. Saturday Night Football finishing up. Final thoughts on that. City, obviously a disappointing result midweek. Ed, but 4-9 to get the victory at Aston Villa, 11-2 for Villa, who had, of course, a couple of disappointing results after a pretty solid start.
They did. And Villa are a side that are suited to a game like this, I would have thought. But Manchester City, who've had a disappointing week, really, with that Champions League result, should be far too good to them. But I wouldn't be going anywhere near that price, personally.
Yeah. Dale, have you got any strong thoughts on this game?
City are going to Moscow the following week. So I would probably be, if ever there's a time, probably, because they've got to win in Moscow. You know, the position now in the table with Roma, they've got to go there and get the point. So if ever he's going to play a squad side, this will probably be it. I do think they'll have the quality in the end. Maybe draw half-time. Villa don't offer much going forward. City full-time. The fact they might have to bring Aguero, Dzeko, maybe even Silva off the bench to try and win the points late on. That would be my angle on it.
Okay, chaps. Well, I'll give you a few moments to ponder your one bet of the week. If you've got a tenner sitting around, where are you going to put it? Whilst we do the weekly competition, £25 free bet up for grabs. All you have to do is tweet in at SkyBet, hashtag TradingViews, with your tip of the week. Bigger price than evens, biggest price winner gets the £25 free bet. Ed, fantastic winner for you last time. Debut on the show.
Did you ever win?
Nailed a one-all draw. In Super Sunday, big game, Man City versus Chelsea.
Did I?
Yeah.
How many Super Six did you get right last week?
Tempest has overtaken me for the first time in 7 years or however long Super Six has been running. I'm devastated, but it's a long season, Dale.
It's a chance
not to spin this. And I have saved that email you sent me this week to throw back at you in a few weeks' time, I can assure you.
I bet you have.
Chance for you to get one over on Dale. Then, Ed, what's your bet? Can you beat Dale's tip?
A Japanese horse will win the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe, and I will go for those 2-0 for Leicester and Swansea in a double. Bit ambitious, but that's what it's all about.
Yeah, just bigger than 8-1 on that. Dale, are you looking towards Super Sunday? I mean, money
You'll
back.
Go for an odds on shot somewhere, I would have thought.
Yeah. Money back if both teams score Chelsea versus Arsenal.
There you go, there's the offer I was asking about.
Yeah, exactly.
On selected markets.
There's the offer.
No, I'm going Saturday. I'm not going corners. Although anybody who does follow the corner market, Swansea have 9 corners in 6 games so far, which I think is fascinating. But that's for another day.
Fascinating is one word.
This is how Dale sends the grandchild to
Hull,
sleep.
Exactly. Hull over goals against Palace. And then the draw in the Sunderland Stoke.
You've done
is
that out of
double.
Spite. You've purely done that out of spite.
No, not at all. I just happen to fancy those teams. That's the double for me.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks very much for your time, chaps. Hopefully you've sent some punters in the right direction. Thanks for listening. Good luck if you're having a bet this weekend.
Thanks for downloading this podcast. To find other podcasts you might like, go to skysports.com/podcast.